Let's see, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka, chapter 10, and a little bit about chapter 10, the departure. Are you ready? Where's all our people? We had a whole orchestra. Somebody want to play this tambora? Go ahead, just the tambora.
Is it in tune?
It's in tune. It should be. It was this morning. And here's a swarmando. Somebody could play the tambora. Somebody could do this swarmando once in a while. Good. And we got the glockenspiel here. What? Right here with in the orchestra pit. So here we go. This is how we used to start our classes in North Carolina to get everyone's attention. Okay, story time. Right on cue. Oh, that last string's a little bit out. Somebody want to play this? Play it tastefully. Thank you. Not all the time, just
strumming
at dramatic moments.
Is that dramatic or dramatic?
Dramatic. Both. Traumatic is for the minor notes on the string. Let's hear some sad music. Yeah. And do you have a cushion? You're gonna. No, you're not. You need a cushion. Okay. Oh, we need them. Okay. So, I said here, in this part, chapter 10, Krishna's leaving Hastinapur. It's really sad. The battle of Kurukshetra happened. Krishna was there helping people to bury the dead, well, cremate the dead, perform the last rites, consoling the relatives that were still there. Oh, good, tambora, that's really good. Is this all coming through? Everybody can hear? Okay. They're not playing too loud. Okay. And I said the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then the next chapter is about Krishna entering Dwaraka. And there, all the people are coming out to greet him. I read from that, and because we're so short on time, it's getting too loud. Did somebody turn that up? It's getting too loud, it's fading back. So I told her, Srimad Bhagavatam introduces you, Krishna, then takes him away, so you feel separation. Then he brings him in, and we read some more. And after about 20 minutes, I said that to her, so she kind of got the idea what the book is about. Now it's too soft, what happened? Then after explaining that to her, the Bhagavatam introduces you, Krishna, takes him away, so you feel separation. And our philosophy is, when you miss Krishna, it's the same as being with Krishna. And then she said something really interesting. This first time at the temple, elderly lady, I don't know, must have been in her late 70s, she said, "It's working." And I thought that was really nice. That was cute. So I'll read a little bit because all right. I had everything organized, but now everything's different. Okay, good. Thank you. Just fill in the empty spaces. Yeah, do it a little louder. Afterward, when the Lord asked permission to depart, and the king gave it, the Lord offered his respects to Maharaj Yudhishthir by bowing down at his feet, and the king embraced him. After this, the Lord, being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, got into his chariot. At that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yuyutsu, Kripacharya, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhimasen, Domya, and Satyavati all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear separation from Lord Krishna. The intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees and have become freed from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation? For they had been intimately associated with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, and sleeping, sitting, and dining with him. Speak louder. Okay, I'll get in it. Okay, usually it's way too loud. I don't like pain. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. Melting on the pot of attraction. In the next chapter, it talks about another kind of pot. It says, looking at the face of the Lord is like the patram, the container of all beautiful things. So that's the verse we're going to land on, if we can do it in time. The female relatives, whose eyes were flooded with tears out of anxiety for Krishna, came out of the palace. They could stop their tears only with great difficulty. They feared that tears would cause misfortune at the time of departure. While the Lord was departing from the palace of Hastinapur, different types of drums like the mridanga, dhola, nagra, dundubi, and flutes of various types, the veena, gomukha, and bari, all sounded together to show him honor. Out of a loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the crews got up on top of the palace, smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord. But they're sad. And then they offered prayers, and it says that the Lord is hearing those prayers, and they're more beautiful to him than the prayers in the Vedas, because they're given with full affection. And the women are saying, how lucky are the people that live in Dwarka? They get to see him every day. How lucky are his wives? What did they do? How did they get to be so fortunate? So now, while the ladies of the capital of Hastinapur were greeting him and talking in this way, the Lord, smiling, accepted their good greetings, and casting the grace of his glance over them, he departed from the city. Now as Yudhishthir and all the other family members follow him for a long way, finally, out of profound affection for Lord Krishna, the Pandavas accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They were overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home, and he proceeded toward Dwarka with his dear companions. Talks about the places he visits on the way, and the people who got to see the Lord along the way, and how every night on the journey he stopped to perform religious activities at sunset. Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. Upon reaching the border of Dwarka, the Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell, heralding his arrival and pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. The white conch shell, gripped by the hand of the Lord and sounded by him, appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It appeared that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. This chapter gets really poetic. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, conch shell in touch with the Lord became like the Lord. Anything in touch with the Lord becomes spiritualized. The citizens of Dwarka, having heard that sound, which threatened fear personified in the material world, began to run toward him fast, just to have a long-desired audience with the Lord, who is the protector of all devotees. Okay, now happy music. Festive. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, the sound of the Lord is identical with the Lord. as we have tried to explain by the non-dual position of the Lord. The material existence of our present status is full of fear. We are always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. This is due to our association with the illusory energy of the Lord, known as Maya. Yet all fear is vanished as soon as there is the sound of the Lord represented by His holy name, as it is sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. The citizens arrive before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied, self-sufficient one. Okay, let us skip ahead. They offer prayers. They say, when you go away, we don't know what to do. We can't see you smiling. Your smiles vanquish all our sufferings. How can we exist without your presence? And it describes how Dwarka is filled with the opulences of all seasons, full of flower gardens, orchards, parks, reservoirs of water with lotus flowers. The gateway, everything was decorated with plantain trees and mango leaves. Highways, subways, lanes, markets, everything was moistened with scented water. To welcome the Lord, every door, auspicious things like curd, fruits, sugar cane. When they heard that Krishna had approached, all of his family members, extremely happy, abandoned resting, sitting, and dining, got up to meet him, riding on chariots with elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded, Vedic hymns were chanted. It explains all kinds of people came out. The Lord exchanged greetings with everyone by embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benedictions, even to the lowest in rank. Then he entered the city, and how does this come about? The ladies, again, the ladies up on the roofs are saying, they're looking at him and they're thinking, this is the greatest festival to be able to see the Lord. Prabhupada talks about satiation. They're never satiated by seeing the Lord, thinking, I've seen him once before. But every day they see him, they never get tired of it. Then the verse, text 26, chapter 11, the Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. So four things are mentioned here, different parts of the body. Did anyone catch it? I read it pretty quick. The chest. What was the chest? The abode of the goddess of fortune. Good. Arms. Yes. And what do they do? Administrative. They protect the demigods. Thank you. What else? The face. The Lord's, the moon-like face. This is a nice one. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. So in the purport, Prabhupada talks about those three things and says, that's nice to approach the Lord for protection, to see beautiful things, or to get wealth. And he says the Lord is certainly the source of all of those. But those who are sarangam, the last line of the Sanskrit, sharanganam padambujam, those who are after the sara, the essence of everything, they go to his lotus feet. And in the middle of this purport, Prabhupada says, there's a, the pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. They are like bees who are always after the honey. Srila Rupa Goswami, the great devotee acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to the bee. And this song doesn't get sung enough. It's from Rupa Goswami. O my Lord, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly therefore give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources of all transcendental honey. Yeah, do that again. So Prabhupada gives the translation to the whole song, and at the end he says, the devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord and have no ambition to see his all-beautiful face or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning toward such humble devotees. So that's the song we are going to sing, and it looks like we're right on schedule. Who could pass these out? I've got the words written up here. I'm going to need one. Oh, good. The guy from, where did you say you're from?
Dallas, Texas.
Okay. There you go. There's 12 copies here you're going to have to share. And if you want to put it up on the screen, it's Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. Maybe give him one of the papers. I'll read Prabhupada's translation while these are being passed out. O my Lord, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly therefore give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources for all transcendental honey. Okay, that's a reasonable request. I want to go there. But then he puts in a little tension into the song. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Okay, so great people are not able to achieve those. So who am I to ask for that? So he goes on to say, still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet, but because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. So if you look at the number 2 verse in there, Durgata Gatavam Vidhatri, whatever is impossible, you can do it. You Parameshwarata Tadapi Tadadikam. So I have no devotion. Tila Matri, not even a sesame seed of devotion. But you're God. You can do whatever you want. The next verse is, your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I'm very much attracted to them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. Okay, how to do all of this? Here we go. Yes, of course. It should be. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Everybody Krishna. Man mana samadhu kara arpayani japada pankaja maparandhe. Man mana samadhu kara arpayani japada pankaja maparandhe. Mana samadhu kara arpaya nija pada pankaja makarande. Samadhishu vidhirapi pashyati nathavana khadramarichin. Idamichchami nishanyakavachitam tarapi kripa bhuta vichu. Idamichchami nishanyakavachitam kripa bhuta vichu. Idamichchami nishanyakavachita tarapi kripa bhuta vichu. Krishna Devabhantam Vande Krishna. Krishna Devabhantam Vande. Samadhu kara arpaya nija pada pankaja maparande. Mana samadhu kara mud heel para, kalpayani cha para, paiba cha, paparanyo. Krishna, Deva Bhavanta Vande, Krishna, Bhakti Rudhan Shati, Yaja Pivadhava, Matvai Manachila Maitre, Tirunanchati Yadya Pivadhava Natvare Mama Bhakti Rudhanchati Yadya Pivadhava Natvare Mama Tila Mama Parameshwaratha Karapita Radhika Durgata Gatana Vidayatri Parameshwaratha Karapita Radhika Durgata Gatana Krishna Deva Bhavanta Vande Krishna Deva Krishna Deva Bhavanta Vande Sanatana Kalita Abhuta Rasabhara Ayana Vilulathaya Adya Sanatana Ayana Vilulathaya Adya Sanatana Kalita Abhuta Rasabhara Nivasato Nityam Ihamrita Vindhiri Vindana Guri Masara Nivasato Nityam Ihamrita Vindhiri Nivasato Nityam Ihamrita Vindhiri Vindana Guri Masara Deva Bhavantam Vande Krishna Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Manana Samadhi Kare Alpaya Nija Pada Pankaja It's not the normal kind of class, but are there any questions?
Best kind of class.
There's a lot more I wanted to read and talk about, but there's just so much in this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We bought this book over 30 years ago, and there are not many things that I bought 30 years ago that I still use. It's a really good investment if you don't have a full set of Srimad Bhagavatams, whoever's watching online or whoever's in here and doesn't have a set yet. They sell them there in just that room over there. Only like $220 or something. Like, that's like what a parking ticket costs. And it's something that's gonna last for like, you know, the rest of your life, a full set of Bhagavatams. So you can read this again and again. I'm going to read here it is. It just opened right up. The inhabitants of Dwarka were regularly accustomed to look upon the reservoir of all beauty, the infallible Lord. Yet they were never satiated. And in the purport, Prabhupada uses the word satiation about, 12 or 15 times. When the ladies of the city of Dwarka got up on the roofs of their palaces, they never thought that they had previously many times seen the beautiful body of the infallible Lord. This indicates that they had no satiation in desiring to see the Lord. Anything material seen for a number of times ultimately becomes unattractive by the law of satiation. The law of satiation acts materially, but there is no scope for it in the spiritual realm. Okay, three times already, satiation. The word infallible is significant here because although the Lord has mercifully descended on earth, he is still infallible. The living entities are fallible because when they come in contact with the material world, they lack their spiritual identity. And thus the body materially obtained becomes subjected to birth, growth, transformation. Okay, the Lord's body is not like that. He descends as he is and is never under the laws of the material modes. His body is the source of everything that be, the reservoir of all beauties beyond our experience. No one, therefore, is satiated by seeing the transcendental body of the Lord, because there are always manifestations of newer and newer beauties. The transcendental name, form, qualities, entourage, etc. are all spiritual manifestations, and there is no satiation in chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no satiation in discussing the qualities of the Lord, and there is no limitation of the entourage of the Lord. He is the source of all and is limitless. So we could sing that song again. I've been singing it all week, and every time I find more in there. And it's so in our line by Rupa Goswami, you can't go wrong. And it's very deep and complex. There's a lot of deep thoughts in there. So anything at all?
The purport where that verse is, one of the verses for the song.
Yeah. What is it? It's chapter 11, text 27? 26, thank you.
11:26.
Yes, 1:11:26. And speaking of numbers, 76, we were just reading, when was the last Gaur Purnima festival in Mayapur that Prabhupada was there in 1977, and they're talking about the books that had been published. Rameshwar announced 52 million books in English, and in all the languages so far it was like over 55 million. And then Radha Vallabha announced the Bhagavad Gita that's about to be printed, the paper for it is filling 76 train car loads. The paper going to print the Bhagavad Gita. That was back in 1977, and everyone was, even Prabhupada laughed at that. And so that was printed at Kingsport Press, Tennessee. And they were printed, shipped to LA, shipped to Berkeley. We put them in a van, and we drove on traveling sankirtan. We went to Kingsport Press and distributed Bhagavad Gita's there. And we said, this was printed at Kingsport Press. Do you know anybody that works there? And people say, oh yeah, okay, I guess I better buy this. And so we took our, gave a new meaning to bring your coal back to Newcastle, bringing your Gita's back to Kingsport, Tennessee. All right, so yeah, Krishna's unlimited. It's growing all the time. And we're going to sing some more. So you're going to stick around? And Mahara walked in. So we're going to sing that song again if you want to join us. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Krishna and Dwarka Ki Jai. And Krishna and Dwarka is perfect. It's perfect. There's nothing better. Except Krishna and Mathura is more perfect. And even better than that. But even Krishna and Dwarka is fully perfect. It's really a good way that Bhagavatam is arranged. You get introduced to Krishna and Dwarka. I'm like, wow, this is really... This is the full moon. This is everything.